Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
And welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. It's actually the final one of the year. Hard to imagine talking with Chris Brown, head coach for the Montana State Billings baseball team. The eight consecutive Great Northwest Athletic Conference champion, Western Oregon, in town this past week. Took one of four games from, there's no question about it, the best team in the Great Northwest Athletic Conference. Let's just in general kind of go over that, talk about how things went and how'd you play.
Well, the first day we didn't play so well. We were pressing and tight and trying to be perfect with everything that we were doing, and it showed. You know, we made a lot of physical errors and mental errors, and the results weren't positive. And we kind of just talked to the guys at the end of the day and said, "Hey, look, you know, we've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. You know, you guys are playing for pride at this point in time, and what better way to do that than to do it against Western Oregon and kind of show the conference that, you know, hey, we're the second best team, and you know, we had a chance to clinch second, which fortunately we did the next day, but also kind of set the tone for next year. And I was real proud of the way that the guys bounced back on Friday. They showed up, and you could just tell there was a different mentality in the air, and there was a high sense of focus and purpose, and said to Coach Wheeler, I was like, today's gonna be a good day, and you just tell it, and it's funny how you get that feel after being with a group of guys that long. And sure enough, we came out and went toe to toe with them that first game on Friday, real proud of the guys. We were down 2-0, and then we snuck a couple across and tied it up, and then with everything on the line in the ninth, we're able to get the leadoff guy on and got him over with a nice bunt, and then Patch Wurzberger came through in the clutch again and got the game-winning hit. And so that was a big win for the guys. It tied the school record for wins and clinched second place in the conference, and assured us that we were going to be 500 in the conference. So it was a big win, but more important, it just was real characteristic of our guys that, you know, when backs are against the wall, they buckle down and they responded after a tough day the day before. And then game four, that was a darn good ball game. We ended up losing it 4-3, unfortunately, but you know, our guys went out there and competed, and real proud of them, and it was a good way to end the season, going toe-to-toe with Western and proving to ourselves and to our guys that, yeah, you know, we can play at this level. We just got to show up and be ready and focused and have good intensity and good purpose from the start of the day to the end of the day.
Yeah, you get a complete ball game in the first one, people that aren't familiar with it, of course, that first game goes 9 innings, second game goes 7 innings. You get a complete game, 9 innings. That's pretty impressive, particularly against a hitting lineup, like what you're facing with the Wolves.
Definitely, for a guy to go 9 against them, actually to go, 9 against anybody, but, for a complete game against a team like that, that's saying a lot. And to, limit them to 2 runs, unbelievable job by Steve Scott, and a great way for him to end his career on a positive note. He's had a little history with them. Last year he lost to them 2-1, and then I don't know what his second outing was against them, but I know it was darn close. And then this year he lost 2-1 to him again, and finally beat him 3-2. So he's really done a heck of a job of kind of solving the puzzle that they present, and it was a good way for him to end his career, and we were real happy for him, and definitely set the tone for the day when a guy like that comes out and gets guys out and just sets the tone for your team that, hey, we're here to compete and we're here to win.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show with Chris Brown. When we come back, we'll have an announcement regarding the GNAC All-Conference team, and also talk about the future of Yellow Jacket baseball. That'll be coming up on the second part of the Coaches Show.
Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. Small brewery, big beer. Billings number one award-winning beers. Great food, great fun, and great beer. Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. And we're now proud sponsors of the Montana State University Billings Athletics. Join us before and after the game for great food, awesome service, and award-winning beer. Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. Small brewery, big award-winning beer. Right in the heart of downtown Billings. At 113 North Broadway, downtown.
And welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show, talking with Chris Brown, the head coach for the Montana State Billings baseball team. Got some announcements to make. All-conference team for the Great Northwest Athletic Conference, and Yellow Jacket baseball appears to be pretty well represented.
Yes, we had the second most guys elected, and second most on the first team, and then the second most overall. We had three guys that made first team, Cole Pryor at second base, Nick Harris at third, and then Stefan Melko in the outfield were all first team guys, and then second team guys were Steve Scott and Matt Schoonover. Steve, obviously a pitcher, and Matt at shortstop. And then we had four guys make honorable mention: Archie Smith, Brian Howe, both pitchers, and then Andrew Hernandez as a catcher, and Joe Villa as a DH. So for us to have nine guys represented there, that was phenomenal, and it speaks volumes to the type of year that we had. And just to go back a year ago, we only had three. We had one first team, one second team, and one honorable mention. And for us to triple that this year really speaks volumes of not only the talent that we were able to bring in, but how a lot of our guys progressed. Because a couple of them are new guys, but most of them are guys that were here last year and really stepped their game up. And hats off to those guys. They had good years, and we're fortunate enough to be recognized by the fellow coaches in the conference.
You know, we look a lot at statistics. We look a lot at batting averages. We look at a lot of ERAs, on-base percentage and things of that nature. All those things are important. But we've talked about it in the past on Coach's Show. There are some of those intrinsic qualities that make a team and make a team successful, or on the other side, the flip side of it, make a team not so successful. What was the main difference between this team this year and this team last year in terms of the success you were able to generate?
Just team cohesiveness and overall chemistry. There's a lot of time spent on that, and like I've said before, if I had the answer to that, I'd bottle it and be a billionaire. But the ability of our guys to just kind of bond this year, we had a lot of new faces, and that's always a big question mark when you go into a year and over half your team is new, and how they're going to come together. And our guys made a concerted effort to spend time together off the field and do those things, but also to find out about each other and not just be teammates, but be friends and actually develop a relationship. And real proud of the way that our guys just kind of said, okay, enough's enough, and we're better than that, and we're going to go out and we're going to achieve our goals and work darn hard towards them. And that was the biggest change, was just kind of our atmosphere and our environment. And I said it to the guys at the end of the games on Friday, was they get all that credit. You always hear all the stuff like that is a trickle-down effect. Well, yeah, it is. I mean, in that, the coaches set that tone. But the truth of the matter is, Ken, is that guys have to buy into it. And not that you want to look at it like this, but it comes from the bottom to the top just as much as it goes top to bottom. And our guys really bought into that and made it happen. And, I said at the beginning of the year that the biggest question mark that we had was twofold. It was, what was our identity going to be, and how were we going to respond to our first moments of adversity? And, we formed our identity early, and then it kind of changed as it does throughout the season. But the one constant was, who we were as a team, and that, we always responded and we always fought. And we had, looking back, we were three or four pivot moments in the season where we could have put our tail between our legs and kind of just mailed it in and said, all right, hey, we're going to go through the motions and that's it. And our guys didn't. You look at our start and started off 1-7. And that would have been a real easy time for our guys to just say, okay, hey, this isn't going to happen, and kind of lose that faith and that belief, and they didn't. And, I think we went 12-4 over a 16-game stretch there and turned the season around. And then we had a little hiccup in the middle of the year between the first Western Oregon and St. Martin series. And, once again, guys, their backs were against the wall, and they had opportunities to start pointing fingers and locker room lawyering and doing all those negative things, and they didn't. They stood up and they took accountability and said, hey, you know what? We weren't playing well enough when we didn't do the little things, and then we went on another run again and really kind of turned the season around for a second time. And then, the last moment was this last weekend, where there was nothing on the line. Yeah, there was some pride stuff, and we could tie the school record for wins and get second place. But, all that stuff, you're not winning the conference. And for them to, you know, show up on Thursday and not play very well, you know, in the back of my mind, I was kind of like, oh boy, this is going to be a long weekend. And they didn't. They showed up Friday and played with a lot of pride and a lot of energy and focus and purpose. And I was real proud of that. And that was real indicative of the group of guys that we have and how far they came from the beginning of the year to the end.
Well, you've got a definite barometer in Western Oregon. I mean, I don't think any coach, this was a great year, don't get me wrong. I'm very pleased with the way things turned out, as I'm sure you are as well. But nobody plays for second place. I mean, sooner or later, you know, you want to make that jump to winning the conference and whatever. There's no question right now, and I think you'd agree, that Western Oregon obviously is a step above everybody right now. How close are you? What sort of needs to be done to kind of close that gap a little bit, if you will?
Just consistency, you know. We proved that on the second day. You know, we had one run ball games with them, and that's all you can ask in baseball. You know, and not that you're, you know, and they're never going to be a team that you're going to walk in and sweep them and just show up and go through the motions and beat them. You know, there isn't anybody in the conference for that matter that's like that. But you know, especially a team like Western. But what we proved this year on you know, the 4 days that we played them, two of the days we didn't show up ready to play and we didn't play well and they kicked us. And that's what happens when you play good teams and you're not ready to play. And then we had 2 days where we had close games with them. We had four close games and our guys were ready to play that day and competed. And I think that, you know, what we took away from it as a team is that we're right on the cusp of that. But we've got to do a couple things better. We have to be more consistent defensively. We can't give them opportunities. And when we do have that mistake, it's got to be one and that's it. It can't turn into one mistake, turns into three, turns into five, turns into three, four, five bad innings. You know, you can't do that against a team like that. From a pitching standpoint, we've got to just get ahead. You know, that was the biggest difference. You know, when you're ahead against a team like that, against anybody, you're dictating the at-bat and you're in control as a pitcher. And the days that we didn't play well, we were behind all the time. And against a good hitting team, you can't be giving them advantage counts, you know, 2-0, 2-1, 3-1. And we did that way too much. Whereas the second day of each series, we were ahead. It was 0-1, 0-2. 1-2 and our guys were dictating the counts. You know, and the third part is the offensive side of it. You know, we made adjustments and put the ball in play, and you know, you're never going to beat their pitchers up, and if you do, it's more than likely going to be a game that it's 15-14 in anyways. But you know, those close games, you have to make adjustments, and when you get guys on, you got to move them over and then get them in, and those are the things that we did on the days that we were successful against them. So it's just a matter of going out and doing it and bringing your quote unquote A game that day and being ready to play and knowing that it's going to take your best effort to beat them. And, you know, from a talent perspective, you know, I think that we've got a lot of guys that are right there. And it's just the next step is that mental part of it where you go from, hey, I want to beat these guys, or hey, I hope we beat these guys, to we're going to beat these guys. And there's a huge difference in those three mindsets. And you know, in a lot of those series is, you know, Northwest Nazarene and Central Washington, we went into those series with the mindset of we're going to beat these guys. And we did. And, you know, against St. Martin's, we were a little bit hesitant and we went in with, you know, hey, I know we can beat these guys. I really want to beat these guys, but we didn't have that mindset of we're going to beat these guys. Same thing with Western. And that's a big difference right there, is just your mental frame of mind. And I think that our guys started to realize that this year that, you know, yeah, it's about what you do on the field, but it's also about where your focus and where your head's at. And in order for everything to come out the way you want it, all those things have to fall into place and fit together.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Denny Menholt, Chevrolet Hummer, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, SignPro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare, and Jackets and Company. We'll be back with the third part of the Coaches Show coming up next.
Hoo-hot.
What's hot?
Hoo-hot.
Hoo-hot?
That's right. Hoo-hot, the exciting Mongolian grill concept that's conquering the nation, and Billings will not be spared.
Mongolian grill?
Hoo-hot Mongolian grill has over 50 fresh meats, vegetables, noodles grilled before your very eyes. Choose from 12 specialty sauces or create your own. From simple soy to super hot Kung Pao Yao. Grab a bowl and load up. Repeat as necessary.
Hoo-hot Mongolian grill. King Avenue West, Billings.
Where hunger meets its destiny.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show with Chris Brown as we kind of take a look back at the season. And right now, actually, we're going to be taking a look ahead. Nine seniors, if I counted it right, are going to be graduating from MSUB. I always want to be careful whenever I talk about recruiting from the standpoint is I don't want to have a cavalier attitude about the seniors you're losing. Obviously, when I look at the names up and down the lineup, every one of them had a major impact on this program and the success you had. But nonetheless, the cupboard is hardly bare for you. You've got a lot of players coming back that you know, had pretty good years for you.
Definitely, and that's, you know, we're finally getting to that point, Ken, where we're not turning over. You know, that first year we had one senior, then the second year it was something ridiculous, like 16. You know, and it was a lot, and then you know, we got into last year where there was only three, and now this year there's nine. Whereas moving forward from here on out, we'll be in a situation where it'll be where we want. It'll be 5 to 7 players every year, maybe 8 on an off year, but it allows for a lot more consistency and stability with your roster, and you're not, you know, you're never losing too much, but you're also not putting yourself in a position where you've got to totally restock. And I think that, you know, we're finally at that point where, you know, yeah, we turned over a fairly big class this year, but we've got a lot of guys that either played behind them and/or were key components that are coming back. And you know, from that standpoint, I feel really good about it, and I think that you know, the guys that are coming back, you know, whether they were a starter or a reserve, they all got valuable experience, and they know what it takes, and we've got a good core of guys coming back, and that really helps not only in the recruiting process from a standpoint of enticing kids to come, but also knowing that, okay, hey, this position is shored up, and we don't need to look here. We can, you know, look at this position and this position, but also knowing that you know, you've got somebody there that makes a big difference and really helps narrow the process down.
You know, I know that it's a cliche, but cliches are cliches for a reason, often because they smack of truth. I love the expression, you know, championships are won during the off season. So have you got the kind of mentality with this team where you think that they'll put that off season work in that allow them some success down the road?
You know, I sure hope so. We've got quite a few guys that are playing baseball over the summer, and that's a huge development piece right there, that, you know, guys come in the fall and they're in game shape and ready to go, and they've improved over the summer. And, you know, even if guys aren't able to, whether it's financial or personal reasons, play over the summer, that they're around baseball and they're doing something. Doing something's always better than nothing. And, you know, we really try to instill that in our guys, that, you know, hey, this isn't a 9-month contract, so to speak. It's a year-round deal, and you need to go out and compete from, you know, the moment that we end until the moment that we start again.
When we talk about what needs to be done with this program, let's talk a little bit about the recruiting aspect. What sort of things are you looking down the road in terms of your recruiting efforts that you'd really like to shore up? Anything that really sticks out for you?
Well, I want to find the next Steven Strasburg. I think everybody needs to find a guy like that. In all seriousness, though, you know, we're always looking for arms. Always looking for arms. You can never have enough of them, and especially you know, quality front end guys. You know, kind of where we're at this year, we're looking at bringing in about 10 guys, probably 50-50 mix, about half of those being JC guys that we can plug in right away, and then the other half being high school seniors that are incoming freshmen and/or, you know, maybe a transfer or two here or there that are, you know, still have, you know, 3 or 4 years of eligibility left. So, you know, the arms race never ends. You're always looking for arms. Even if you you know, get everybody back, you're always looking to improve on the bump. And from a position by position standpoint, you know, we lost a couple key cogs, and we've got a couple guys that were behind them, and a couple spots that are wide open. And you know, we're going to go out and try to fill those appropriately. And you know, it's a situation where you want to find a guy that you can plug in, but you're also not going to pass up on a guy that you feel can help you out in 2 or 3 years, and is maybe a development guy that, you know, he's not ready right away, but boy, he's sure got a lot of potential. So there's always that question. And then, you know, the other part of it is the part that everybody kind of loses sight of is, you know, hey, what kind of a kid is this? And, you know, what kind of a student is he? And those character issues. And, you know, and we learned that lesson the hard way 2 years ago. You know, we took a couple of flyers on some kids and that had a lot of ability, but you know, there was maybe some baggage there, and you always want to give someone the benefit of the doubt. But you know, I learned that lesson the hard way last year, that you really got to do your research on what kind of a kid this is, what kind of an athlete is he, or not what kind of an athlete, but what kind of an academic person is he. You know, is he a good student? Does he take it seriously? And what kind of a person is he? And those three things are almost more important than what kind of an athlete, just because there's a lot of guys out there with $1 million bodies and 5 cent heads, and you know, we really put a renewed focus on finding character guys and guys that, you know, obviously can help us out athletically, but are going to represent us well in the classroom and in the community, and keep their noses clean and work hard and be good team guys.
I did notice one thing that kind of stuck out at me. You got two senior catchers that you're losing, always obviously a very, very important position, but you do have some younger guys that have got the C next to them and next to the position. How are you doing in that regard?
You know, the catching position is always a need. You know, we've got you know, Joe and Andrew are leaving, and we've got Tyler and Patch coming back, but you know, Patch is more of an outfielder. He kind of catches because he can, and from the catching standpoint, you always want to have, at least in my opinion, Ken, you know, three is the minimum, absolute minimum. To have four is nice, and five is really good. That being said, you know, I like guys that can play dual positions, you know, and that fits with our overall philosophy of having baseball players. You know, obviously you have guys that are just catchers, but I like catchers that, you know, can play other positions, whether that's in the outfield. Otherwise, they usually translate really well into the corners, first and third. That's an easy transition for them. So we're looking at those guys, and you know, probably, you know, one or two catchers, and probably one of them being a JC guy and another guy being a incoming freshman that can come in and kind of take over that role for the long term.
Yellow Jacket Coaches Show brought to you by Alpha Graphics, Stella's Kitchen and Bakery, Clock Tower Inn, Ortho Montana, Danny Menholt, Farmers Insurance Group, First Interstate Bank, Sign Pro, Perkins, Rimrock Stages, GM Petroleum Distributors, St. Vincent Healthcare and Jackets and Company. Chris Brown, congratulations on a phenomenal year, and you know, it'll be here before we know it. I know we always think it seems like a long time, but before we know it, we'll be watching Yellow Jacket baseball again. Congratulations on a great year.
Thanks, Ken. Pleasure doing business with you.
And the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Thanks, everyone.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.